This moment of Pentecost is a moment of power. It is power unleashed. And strangely, it is power unleashed by absence. Jesus says, if I don't go away, the Spirit will not come. The image that comes to mind for me that relates to this, it's a common image, but it's the time I learned to ride a bike. It was an orange banana seat bike with the high handlebars. That's what I remember. I remember this moment like a freeze frame in my mind when I felt my dad's hand come off my back. And it was just vertigo. It was panic. But I couldn't stop. You know, if you don't pedal a bike, it falls over. And if you pedal, it goes. But, you know, it's one thing to do it with training wheels, and it's another thing to do it for real. That absence became presence in a different way. And I think I learned to ride a bike, I've never learned to fly in a trapeze, but I imagine it's the same thing. That moment where you not just are on the platform saying, okay, this is it, but the moment where you let go before you have the next bar. That space that we lean into. That loss of security, that loss of certainty, happens every time we learn something. There's always the letting go of something before the next thing is in hand. We all like having things in hand, having them certain. But real growth, the real action of life, the moving forward of life, the evolution of life, happens in those spaces, in those not this, not that yet, but what is it, that leaning into it. And that is not comfortable. It isn't always terrifying, but there's that vertigo. Peter, the Apostle Peter, is right when he says to the people, this is a moment of the Spirit. This is what it means. God is pouring the Spirit out on everyone, indiscriminately. The young are having dreams and the elders are having visions. Reciting back or reaching back to the prophet Joel. Something is up. But a vision and a dream is not a blueprint. And a lot of visions, a lot of those night dreams that we have are scary. Not necessarily scary because they're malevolent, but scary because they are unfinished, because we just see a piece of it, but there's something way bigger, and we don't know what it is, and it signals deep water, something more than what we know. As the writer and the Gestalt therapist, Barry Stevens, says, quoting Jesus, yes, the truth will set you free, but it will make you miserable first. It's pointing that to that having to let go before truth is in hand, which is in some ways the most creative place to be. It's where, again, God can make something happen, get our attention. There was an inscription over the seminary I attended, Virginia Theological Seminary, over the library in stone, that said, seek the truth, come whence it may, and cost what it will. This encouragement to these young students to just let go of the certainties in the pursuit of truth. This happens in our lives daily, in large ways and small. This is not the thunder of the Spirit. I think it's the bad wire connection of my mic. Yeah. Maybe it is the Spirit. So this week, a parishioner came to me to tell me what's happening in their life, saying, you know, I come from a family, one branch of which was settling this country in the colonial days of our history. And the town that we are from is a town that is mostly made up of, in the whole region, of African Americans. And the history is clear. These old plantations in this area that's African American. Said, it's, you know, my family's name is important to the historical, local historical society, but in the story as it's told, there is nothing that really links my family with enslavement. But I know it's there. It's not, we don't talk about it in the family. But this person's feeling something now, saying, what do I do with that? How do I hold that? And it's pulling me into something deeper, and I don't know what it is. And I don't know where it's going to lead. But I know it's going to change me. But I don't know how. And I don't know how much. So it's a story we can all tell, not about that specific line, but there's those things in our lives that we can say, whoa, if I go there, you know, I'm thinking what's coming to mind right now is like the first time I thought, wait, am I gay? Vertigo. Like, if I go there, if I open that door, what's it gonna mean? Again, we've all got them, large and small. That is the Holy Spirit. You don't have to look any further, but just those places that are pulling us closer to the electricity of our lives. There's this last year, you know, again, even though we haven't been together, enough stories being told that it's striking to me how many people's lives have shifted and changed, moved. People moving literally across the country, marriages ending, children being born, families discovering how they can live together in different, deeper ways, jobs lost, people retiring, people changing the course of their lives. All that ground shifting, but people are listening. We are doing it in response to something that we can't not listen to. If I don't follow this voice, I will betray something in my life. That discomfort is only discomfort to the ego. It is life and breath and healing to the soul. Throughout Eastertide, we've been using this blessing to close out the liturgy. The wonder and wildness of God, whom death could not contain, who lives to disturb and heal us. Those two go right together. And it takes just this bit of bravery to say, you know, I'm not going to run from those moments. I'm going to take the risk to think, okay, maybe God is here in these moments that I would like to run from because they're not comfortable. But if that's the leading of the Spirit, if that's where the electricity is, then whoa, that's, I'm gonna lean into that. That is, I think, the uniquely, not uniquely Christian, but the thing that spiritual communities do in a kind of a unique way is take those, that very common, ordinary element to our lives that we often step back from and say, can we imagine this as God? As God's voice, God's leading, God's invitation, and step toward it and make something together or follow into what God is already doing. Imagining life that way and then living it out is one of the ways we change the world, individually and then collectively. When a whole group of people imagines the world that way, that's power. That's a movement. It has changed the world over and over and over again. It's the only way the world, our world, our human world, changes. So, really, that's, I think, why we come to church each week, is to hear each other's stories and to say, oh, I hear it in your story, in your story. Wait, I have a story too. And then we hear it in the story, kind of pull back the curtain and, you know, listen to the praise of heaven going on and say, oh, that's right, that's what we're involved in, something that big. And then go out and live it. Take it, see it where we live. And if we do that, as we do that, every Sunday's a Pentecost. Pretty soon every moment's a Pentecost. It's a moment of the Spirit alive and active and working through us as instruments. Not because we're special or better, but just because we're listening. Radio receivers picking up the signal, able to put it out there. So come, Holy Spirit. Penetrate our minds and our hearts. Disturb and heal us. Make us your hands and your heart and your healing.